You're listening to Alternate Reality, episode 396. We're talking about the comics that we liked from this past week.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're here each and every week to talk to you about comic books. Although we didn't make it last week, we're going to take some weeks off from time to time, as is necessary, due to life and other things. And it's what keeps me sane, keeps me from getting burnt out, and makes it possible to continue to do the show. So just bear with us. Sometimes we'll put out four episodes a month. Sometimes it'll be three. Sometimes it'll be two. But we'll try to get as much content to you as possible. We apologize for being gone. We hope you didn't.
Sometimes two. Two, three, or four.
We hope you didn't miss us too much while we were gone. So we've got a good show for you lined up this week. We got a bunch of stuff that came out. Me and Charlie want to talk to you about it. Not a lot of update or anything going on as far as movies, conventions, or anything like that. So nothing really to talk about on that front. Anything, Charlie, that you want to mention before we get started?
No.
Okay. Then let's...
Not now.
Not since you said there isn't any.
Maybe later.
Okay.
Maybe not.
So... Without further ado, let's take a quick break.
Maybe a little. Maybe a lot.
This is Charlie's thing tonight, talking over top of me. So without further ado, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Alternate Reality, the best comic book podcast on the internet. Sit tight.
Next time, I wasn't going to do this for another few weeks, but seriously. Turning all of humanity into apes? That was your master plan? Listen up. From now on, I'm in charge of this operation. Anybody got a problem with that?
No problem at all, baby.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. You can check us out on iTunes. And if you go over to iTunes, we'd appreciate it if you'd write a review, say some nice things about us. That helps us get more exposure. It's good for us. It's good for you. It's good for everybody. So do that. Head over to iTunes and write a review for Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. All right, Charlie, we're ready to talk about comic books, the stuff that we read in the last little bit. The thing seemed to me, this is just my opinion. I'm one man in a sea of men that read comic books. It's a rain, man.
Did you say seamen?
Then a sea of men, not a seaman, of dudes, of people, not just dudes, females. Females read comics. People of all stripes read comics. And so
I'm. And cut.
And so I just was one person that read comics. So these are my thoughts only. It seemed to me that last week there was a lot of material out, and I didn't even get to all of it. Some of it got shelved until in later times because I couldn't read everything that I wanted to read because I was either busy. I had a staycation over the weekend, and I went with my kids to a local campground, and we did some hiking and things like that. And Charlie's playing internet video. And so I didn't get to everything I wanted to get to. And some of the other things that I was reading, I was trying to catch up on, put me behind a little bit. So of what I read, it seemed like there was plenty of content, but none of it was particularly overwhelmingly good. It was just average. It was just a really average week is what it felt like to me. So the thing that kind of stuck out to me that I kind of was most impressed with this week was Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 50, which is odd because I don't normally talk about this book. I don't normally go on about it or say things about this book. It's been on my list of things to read for a while, and I have been letting it back up on me. So I knew that this week the 50th issue is coming out, and this is sort of the climax. Yeah, this is the climax. This is where it ends. This is where the story culminates, if you will, before this goes on a break. And I don't know if they're going to bring back this title or do Hal Jordan in a separate, different kind of book later. But for
they're canceling both this and Green Lanterns.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly. There's going to be new Green Lantern books coming out soon. So I knew this was the last issue of this. And so I wanted to read this and a few of the issues previous to this, which I had, like I said, gotten behind on. And I wanted to get caught up. So here's what kind of just the breakdown of what's going on in the Green Lantern Corps. The Dark Stars have taken over. The Dark Stars are this group that are remind me a lot of the Manhunters in a way, except the Manhunters were robots that were set about to keep law and order before the Green Lantern Corps was a thing. The Dark Stars, I don't really know where they come from. Again, there's some backstory here that I'm missing because I came in late. But the Dark Stars are a group of individuals who see themselves as law keepers. They have a mantle that they are bestowed upon them. So you have the mantle of the Dark Star bestowed upon you. And at that point, your overwhelming desire to see justice meted out means that you want to kill all evildoers. Okay? So if you feel like your sixth grade school teacher didn't give you a fair score on a test, you're liable to hunt that person down and kill them. This is how your sense of justice now works. If you see some person committing a crime, robbing a liquor store or something like that, the only way to prevent that person from committing said crime again, because you don't believe in rehabilitation, that's not a thing. The only way to keep that person from committing more crime is to kill them. This is in the essence of what the Dark Stars are all about, and it flies in the face of the Green Lantern Corps, because the Green Lantern Corps, despite their temporary dalliance with lethal force during the Sinestro Corps War. I mean, they were killing people during the Sinestro Corps War. Lethal force was authorized by the Guardians of the Universe during that period. Now that John Stewart is running the Green Lantern Corps, the Guardians are there, and the Guardians are still kind of overseers, but John Stewart is the one calling the shots right now of the Green Lantern Corps. He's in charge of the Corps. And John Stewart has said that the Green Lantern Corps will no more use lethal force. There is a no-killing strict policy in the Green Lantern Corps. So now the Green Lantern Corps has to figure out how to deal with these Dark Stars who the only way they deal with things are killing. And you have to deal with them, and you're not allowed to kill. In addition to that, there seems to be thousands of them. They have managed to recruit tons of people from all across the universe. And they're waging war on the Green Lantern Corps. If that weren't bad enough, they seem to wear some kind of super-powered armor that makes them almost like Green Lantern, but the technology is a little different. It's not light constructs. It's more just like energy beams and that kind of thing. But they have teleportation powers, and they have like a hive mind. So they all coordinate. They all act individually, but they all have a coordinated attack. So they all know where each other's going and what each other's doing without having to talk about it. So it makes them a very, very difficult, bad guy to fight. There are tons of casualties on MOGO, the headquarters of the Green Lantern Corps, and they don't know how to deal with this. You know, they're overwhelmed. Well, the four Green Lanterns from Earth, which are kind of the four Green Lanterns that are kind of in charge right now, John Stewart being the head, they are all off with a secret plan to deal with this threat. Now, the Dark Stars are being run by Tomar Two, I think is his name, which is the son of Tomar Rey, which was the Green Lantern that died that gave Hal Jordan his ring.
No.
No?
No.
No, is that not right?
No, that's not right.
What was his name then? Pink guy. Now that I think about it, it wasn't Tomar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Tomar Rey was just like
a Green Lantern. He was just a regular one. You're right. Ah, shoot.
In the movie, he's a trainer.
Yeah, okay. Daggone it. How'd I get that? All right. That's my bad. My bad. I got that confused. But Tomar Ray gets killed in the book, in the comic book. Tomar 2, which is his son, is so angry about that.
The sequel.
He's so angry about that.
Just call me Junior.
That he allows himself to be taken over by the Dark Stars. It reminds me a lot of the way the Rage Lanterns work. You get angry about something, and the Rage Lantern can take you over, right, and make you its puppet. It's a similar thing with the Dark Stars. So while...
Abin Sur,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you get that from somebody else, or did that just hit you?
No, I just thought of it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I don't know why I got those confused.
No.
Yeah, it sounds right.
No, Abin Sur is Apocalypse's real name. It's something like that. It doesn't matter. Go on.
Okay. All right. Anyway, somebody that's listening to the show is screaming right now going, oh my God, it's so-and-so. Anyway, so they're dealing with this plan. All right. So the Green Lanterns of Earth have got a plan. Guy Gardner was recently on Earth trying to kill his dad until Arkillo was able to pull him out of that rage and get the Dark Star mantle off of him because he had it for a little while. So Arkillo and Guy Gardner are kind of buddy cops that are running around working together now. If you'll recall, Arkillo was the Sinestro Corps Green Lantern, Sinestro Corps Lantern with the Yellow Corps.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that he would.
Well, he's reformed, but he still got the Yellow Lantern ring, and he still got Yellow Lantern powers. I'm not sure how that works either. This is also a detail that wasn't in the book. So anyway, we meet up with Jordan and Rayner and Guy Gardner and John Stewart, and here's the plan. They've got to figure out a way how to they've also got General Zod working with them. I don't know how they brokered that agreement either, but General Zod's helping them. So between the six of them, their plan is to draw the attack away from MOGO, which they managed to do. Then they got to negate the teleporting ability of the Dark Stars. All right. In order to do that, John Stewart has asked Zod for Kryptonian teledisruptors, which he has the plans for. And John Stewart, using his Green Lantern ring and his architectural design schematic brain that he's good for, was able to mass produce hundreds of these things. So they get them all in an area where these teledisruptors disrupt their abilities to teleport. And so now they're stuck in that field and they can't get out of it. You take that and you couple that with the fact that Tomar 2 is down on this headquarters planet with Hal Jordan and Hector Hammond. Hector Hammond has used his giant, massive psychic brain to take over the controllers. The controller, this is a lot of pieces on this field, all right? A lot of pieces on this puzzle board. The controllers are the kinetic, super psychic guys that are running the Dark Stars. Hector Hammond takes them over and shuts them down. So now their telepathic link is shut down. So these are all plans that John Stewart, as a tactician, is orchestrating. He's manipulating the board and putting these pieces in place. Once their teleportation ability is gone, and once their hive mind tactical ability is gone, it makes all of them an individual, and they're scattered, and they don't know, they haven't received any instructions, they don't know what to do. Then all the Green Lantern Corps comes swooping in, ones that are left and not dead or disabled in some way, and you've got a battle royale. So here you have, above the planet, you have the three Earth Green Lanterns of John Stewart, Guy Gardner, and Kyle Rayner, along with Arkillo and along with Zod, reinforced by the rest of the Corps, battling thousands of Dark Stars. Well, down on the planet, you've got Hal Jordan fighting Tomar 2. And the battle culminates. I mean, it's an epic fight. It really is well done. The battle culminates in Zod finally deciding he's had enough of this and that he doesn't believe in this non-killing crap that John Stewart has instigated, and he's going to put an end to this fight by cutting a head off the snake. So he goes down to the planet where Tomar 2 is. But just about that time, Hal Jordan is able to disrupt the machine that causes the Dark Stars mantle thing to work, and all their armor and stuff falls off of them, and all these people out there in space lose their powers and their brains go back to normal, and they no longer are rage controlled. And then the Green Lanterns have to scoop them up before they suffocate in the vacuum of space. So, and at the same time, when that happens, Tomar 2, his Dark Star mantle falls off, and he's back to his old self, and now he's grieved because he doesn't understand why he did these things. He can't believe he let his own pain and anger get to him so badly that made him a puppet for this Dark Star technology. Here comes Zod, and Zod comes in with glowy red eyes about to liquidate Tomar 2. I mean, for what he'd done and the pain he'd caused. But not before Tomar 2 had turned one of the Darkstar weapons on himself and killed himself as penance for what he'd done. So Zod didn't get the option to kill him, and Zod finally... And apparently, Tomar Rey, which was Tomar 2's dad, was the Green Lantern that was responsible for letting Krypton get destroyed, or at least not stopping it. He was the Green Lantern of that space sector. So Zod holds him responsible for not being more proactive. Okay. And apparently he doesn't know anything about Rogar Zol or any of that stuff. That's all new information. But anyway, so once Tomar 2 is dead, then Zod's bloodlust is satisfied and he goes back to his planet that he's running now on his own. And that's fine. And so Tomar 2 is dead. Hal Jordan and him have an epic moment where he's in his arms and he's dying. Tell everyone that I was a good man at the end. And he said, I will, I promise. And they all go back to Mogo, and they have like this giant Star Wars epic level celebration with music playing in the background, and there's a parade, and Jon Stewart gives a big speech, and everybody's happy. And at the end of the book, the very last thing is Hal going back to Earth, meeting Carol Ferris, and ending in an embrace and kiss. The book just was well put together. All the pieces, there was, like I said, there was a lot of puzzle pieces on this board. It all the pieces came together at the right time. It was well executed. I didn't see any dangling plot threads. Nothing was left undone. It was easy to understand. I have just been through some big DC crossover books that kind of left me scratching my head a couple times going, I'm not sure I understood what just happened there. This wasn't like that. So Robert Venditti, which wrote this, did a great job. The art on it's fantastic. Everything is good. This was a good book. I'm sorry that I came on board so late. I wish I had got to read more of it. So I tried to wrap that up as quickly as possible. There was a lot to say there. So, but that was really, really good. All right, Charlie, moving on. Titans number 24.
So the Titans are dealing with the after effects of the what are they called? The Justice League startup. We have the
Dark Justice League Dark. What are you talking about? We're on point tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We can't remember anything.
The Dark Celestials are in the Avengers book.
The Entropy Titans.
Yeah, the Entropy Titans.
Okay, I didn't know what you were getting at. My bad.
And they're dealing with the after effects of all that, and a stray, bolt or something from the opening of the multiverse terror through the source wall. And these two characters show up, and they're hunting for this guy. And turns out the Titans come there to fight the two people. And, well, they don't come to fight. They're just like, hey, what's going on? And this one guy who's like a wizard guy is like, look, we came from a universe where, you all just, showed up one day. I'm here to tell you all you can't do that. I'm here to punish whoever's responsible or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Well, while the Titans are there, one of the creatures that it brings through starts attacking them, and they start fighting it. Well, some of the Titans have to be put on citizen patrol,
Right.
Cleanup duty. Hey, go over there and get that guy out of the way or whatever. And they're trying to do, Donna Troy is trying to do that. And she's like, sir, let me help you get out of the way. And the guy instantly recognizes the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, that can't be whoever it is. And Don Troy's like, what are you talking about? And he says something to her. Well, as Nightwing and all the rest of the Titans are fighting these people, Don Troy comes up with that guy and says, look, this guy may have some information to help us. Well, it turns out he used to be a writer in the 60s and 70s or whatever, and he wrote fantasy books.
Okay.
Well, he wrote these two characters
mm-hmm.
into existence,
I love it when that happens.
And that's what's going on in this the ray from the source ball opening has affected this guy to give him a latent superhuman ability.
Right.
That created a whole universe, a whole world.
Okay.
So they,
so if he writes it, it becomes real.
It did become real.
Okay.
But he's not a writer anymore.
Oh, okay. So it happened then, but it's not happening now because he's not writing.
Yeah. So, the Titans say, well, we gotta stop this,
right.
Whatever, we don't care. We're gonna transport these two guys over there. They'll go back to their own universe. We'll go back to ours. And they start to do that, and they close the thing up, but the old guy's like, look, these are my friends, I created these characters, and he's like, look, I've been alone for like 30 years, and it's not fair that I have to like live alone my life.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, sorry, sir, well, we really can't help you. So they get Raven and all them, Raven, Starfire, and Miss Martian. They go through the teleportation thing to that other universe, and they close the portal, and they come back home. And they're like, well, everything's working out, and I'm glad. And they're like, well, I feel bad for that guy, but, we had to do what we had to do. But then it shows like the wizard guy, and he's talking to the old man. He's like, "Yes, I'm certainly glad to be here, sir." Because like I said, it's kind of like a friendship role, even though this guy's like a bad wizard guy,
right?
And you're like, "What's going on?" Well, the thing was, when they teleported that other universe, they left Raven there.
Oh,
so Raven's stuck in that other universe while this guy's roaming about, and we'll have to see what goes on in further issues.
Lost in the other universe. Dun, dun, dun.
But it was kind of like a whole like George R. R. Martin thing that he created a world, but they like brought it to life.
In a world what George R. R. Martin created. Cool. All right. Next book on the list is Fantastic Four number one. This is a much anticipated book.
I don't know why.
This is... Well, some folks like the Fantastic Four.
Well, I heard a review of the book on, like, Monday night. Apparently someone...
Had an advanced copy?
Had an advanced copy, and they said the best part about it was the Impossible Man story.
Yeah, it's a...
And I hear it's only, like...
It's a one-page thing.
Yeah. And if that's the best part of the whole book, that's pretty sad, because it's a pretty thick book.
Well, I see. How many pages is it? 45 pages.
Yeah.
So I can review this really quickly. You're aware of the Marvel 2-in-1 book that was coming out, right?
It's still coming out.
Yeah, it's not even finished yet. And so
I don't know if they are finishing it.
Oh, it's not? Because that story's incomplete. There was no resolution at the end of that. All right, so
I'm not aware of it ending.
Oh, you're saying, okay, that's fine. But my point, I'm not saying the book is coming to an end. I'm saying the current story that they're telling right now.
I'm not
predates this happening.
I would assume so.
All right, so let me give you just a little history. All our listeners, not just you, because you don't care. I can tell the way you're looking at me, you don't care. All right, but let me give you the readers just a little history. In the Marvel 2-in-1 book, which has been featuring for however many issues now, 6 or 8 issues or whatever we're up to, Fantastic Four characters, the Human Torch, and the Thing, okay? Everybody knows after Secret War, or Secret Wars, or whatever it was called, Space Wars or something.
Secret Wars 2.
Everybody knows after that, Doom became a god, Reed Richards had to stop him. In doing so, Reed Richards sacrificed all, I guess, him and his family. And so all the Fantastic Four are dead and gone except Johnny Storm and Ben Grimm, okay, the Human Torch and the Thing. And so now they're stuck back on Earth after the resolution of that, but they have no Fantastic Four family, okay? In Marvel 2-in-1... team up, whatever you want to call that book. Basically the story was that Ben felt that Johnny was spiraling down a hole of depression. And so he got
That's pretty bad because he's on fire.
Yeah, that's true.
So and if he does, he's turning down a hole, he'd become a burning ring of fire.
So Ben knows I fell into a burning ring of fire depression hole.
Depression.
Fire. So Ben knows the truth. Ben knows that Reed and Sue and them are dead. But Johnny doesn't know, and Johnny's hopeful that they'll come
Johnny back. Doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know.
Don't tell Johnny. Johnny doesn't know. Oh.
So Johnny doesn't know, and Johnny's hopeful that they'll eventually come back. But the longer Johnny waits, the more depressed Johnny gets. So in order to lift his spirits, Ben Grimm incorporates the aid of Dr. Doom, the now beautiful Dr. Doom, right? And
the what?
Well, he's beautiful. He's not scarred up anymore. He's got a good-looking face now. And so he gets Dr. Doom, and Dr. Doom, who's been trying to be a good guy, he was in that Iron Man book where he was trying to do good, right? And so he says, we need your help. We're going to travel the multiverse with him and some other doctor, who says that she knows where to find Reed and Sue. And so we want to take, our powers are failing because apparently, and this is something I've never heard before, after the separation from the other two Fantastic Four members, Johnny and Ben's powers begin to fade. And so Johnny is having trouble maintaining his flame, and Ben is slowly turning back into a person, and a regular-looking person. And so the idea is if we can find them, it'll rekindle our powers, and at the same time reunite our family, we can all come back to Earth together. Doom has agreed to help them. This woman says she knows the way, but they got to travel through the multiverse to find them. So they go through these multiversal things. The last story I read was about them being on like a war world, apocalypse type, Mad Max kind of world where Spider-Man rules. Spider-Man has taken over the world and is a despot that just with blood and fury and fire just rules over everything and kills everybody he doesn't like. Okay. And so that's the world they were stuck in. Because their powers had finally dissipated enough that the technology had been destroyed that they couldn't make another jump. Turns out in that book that the reason the doctor took them on that adventure is because her sister had died and she was looking for another sister that was just like her to replace her with because she was lonely. Really kind of messed up. Doom figures it out. Doom says there is no Johnny and there is no Reed and Sue. They're dead, aren't they? He confronts Ben about it, and Ben and says it's true, but don't tell Johnny. This is all Johnny's got to hang on to. He says, you know he's going to find out. All right, fine. So that's where that ends. That's the last issue that came out. There's no resolution to that story. We get to this, and somehow or another in this book, Doom is scarred again. His face is all mangled and scarred. We have no idea how that happened. He goes back to Latveria and takes and reassumes his throne for the first time since he left it to go fight Secret Wars. Because he's not been on the throne all this time. In addition to that, Johnny and Ben are walking around New York City. Power seemed to be working fine, but still no Reed and Sue. And we don't know how they got back from the multiverse, and we don't know what happens. So, long story short, Ben has decided to move on with his life. Ben has said, you know what? I have been staring at Alicia Masters all these years. She's beautiful. She's lovely. And she's the love of my life.
Some of that.
And he decides to propose to marry her because he's like, you know what? It's time to move on with our lives.
He's going to propose to marry her?
He proposes. He gives her a ring.
Marriage.
He gives her a ring.
Marriage.
She agrees to marry him. She agrees to be his wife. They call Johnny over to tell him about the adventure. About the announcement, and Johnny is furious because he said, what do you mean? You're just moving on with your life. You don't care about Reed and Sue. You don't care about finding him anymore. And he goes, kid, you know, he doesn't actually tell him that they're gone, but he says the odds of us finding them may be very, very remote. We're going to have to, you know, just at some point live our lives. And if they find their way back to us, good. Reed's the smartest man in the world. If he can find a way back, he'll find a way back, but we've got to move on. And it's like at the end of that, Johnny finally comes to a realization that he's been stupid, that he's been holding on to desperate hopes and dreams all these years, and they may make it come back someday, but they may not, and they may be dead. And if they are, then he's going to have to deal with it. And just as he comes back to tell Ben and them that he was wrong and that he will be his best man in his wedding, then suddenly there's a signal that appears in the sky of a giant four. It's a signal that Reed has sent from wherever he actually is and indicating that they're still alive. That's all that happens in this first issue.
I saw where like everyone was just like looking at the sign, and Luke Cage looks up and goes, damn right.
Yeah, there's that, you know, different heads. And we said Sweet Christmas.
It's, well, whatever.
So, you know, it's, but here's the problem I've got with his artwork is that the four is in front of the earth from your point of view, like if you were on the moon. If you were on the earth, it four's backwards. Because the earth is behind it. So I was like,
my whole problem with the art was the art itself in the book.
Well, the art's not great. I will admit that too. I've seen better art. But the afterward, and of course, there's the Doom story. It explains all the Doom stuff I already mentioned. And then there's the Impossible Man story after that, which was really fun. The Impossible Man is, he comes in and he goes, oh, we got a delivery for the Impossible Man. Because he's all upset that they're not together at the end of the first issue. He's like, because they know the readers are going to be upset about this. And so they come in and they go, this is what I've been waiting for. And at the end of the book, they're not back together. Oh, I'm going to blow up. And his head becomes a bomb. And about that time, Postman walks over and gives him a letter. And it says, Dear MP, Impossible Man, please be informed that the Fantastic Four will be back together next month's issues. Yours, Marvel Comics, XXO, Excelsior, 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 Excelsior. And he goes, oh, well, then that's okay. But know this, I'll be watching you, Marvel. And he looks like the Uatu, the Watcher. So that's where the book ends. Like I said, almost nothing except for the proposal to Alicia Masters, almost nothing happens in this book. And so hopefully by the time we get to next month, something will actually transpire that'll be halfway important. We're not there yet. But I want to give it another chance because I'm desperate for good Fantastic Four comics. I don't know if this will be it, but I would really like to read some good Fantastic Four again. So I'm just hoping that they'll do that. All right, Charlie, that brings us to your next book, Sideways number 7.
Sideways number 7 is one of those New Age of Hero books, which I really kind of like this book because it's...
You're liking a couple of these. You're liking, yeah, Terrifics and this.
Terrifics is great in this. And I don't know, the other ones are okay.
Yeah. Are you reading any other ones or...
I'm reading all of them except for Damage.
You're reading Immortal Man?
Curse of Brimstone and Silencer.
Okay. Are you reading Immortal Man?
So I'm reading all of them except
for three. Okay. So that means when I ask you a question, you can just say yeah.
Someone says, if you're God, you say yes. Other than that, I don't say yes.
I just wondered if that was any good for whatever reason. That always kind of piqued my interest. Okay.
It's interesting.
So, Sideways number 7. Tell us about it.
The main character in this book got his adopted mother killed. And it's because he didn't answer his cell phone when she called him. And she had been like looking into his past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while he's dealing with this and trying to figure out why she died and who did it or whatever, he goes back to school and he's dealing with all this stuff, and like the teens in his class are like kind of yeah, we know how it feels, buddy. Yeah, you know, we're there for you. And he's like, look, you don't know how I feel. My mom just died. And this one guy who's kind of a bully at any point in time goes, look, dude, I was just like wishing you well or whatever. And like, you don't need to be like treating people like this, you know, I don't care who you are. And he goes, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah. And what are you going to do about it? So like him and the bully start to have fight. Well, seeing as he's been given these enhanced abilities, he has strength too. And he like knocks the bully for a loop there. And he's, and everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? He's like, oh, man, I shouldn't have used my powers like that. Like, he kind of gets more upset, and he opens up a rift, which is what he can do. And he opens it up over a waterfall and basically drowns the, like, lets it fall loose on all these kids. And these characters show up, and it's the seven soldiers of
victory.
We have Clarion, Shining Knight, Shiloh Norman, the Bulleteer, Frankenstein, Zatanna. And you're like, well, wait a second, that's only six of them. And you're like, where's Guardian? Well, that's the thing. They showed up and they said, look, there are seven of us usually, but Guardian's missing and we need your help to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, because our power relies in the fact that there are seven of us, we need you and your abilities to help us find him. And that's kind of where the book ends.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Sweet. All right. I'm going to talk about a book that I've not had any experience with prior to this. And it's the Sandman universe. Okay. So I've not read any Sandman anything ever.
And yet you're reviewing Sandman.
But. Okay. So maybe that doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. I agree. Like, but it's widely regarded as fantastic work. Everybody loves what Neil Gaiman did on that series. It's been collected in absolute editions and omnibuses and hardcovers, and people just keep rebuying it and they keep reprinting it. And it's just universally acclaimed. And so I always kind of sit, and when that kind of thing happens, and I have no experience with it, I always kind of sit and go, am I missing something here? So I decided to check this issue out to see if it grabbed me. So this review is from the point of view of a guy who has never read Sandman, is intrigued by the concept, and wants to know more about it. So just take that with a grain of salt. If I talk about something and I get it wrong, or I don't understand what certain concepts are about, look over me. Because like I said, that I'm coming in it as a newbie here. So the book opens up in the dreaming, in this epic land space that is everybody's dream worlds all kind of rolled into one. Yes. If it was a landscape, it would be like where everybody goes when they dream. And you will occupy a small piece of this property where your dream manifests and takes place. So where your dream is happening, it might be an urban city type area. And where somebody else's dream is happening just over the hill, it might be ancient battlefield. And where somebody else's dream is happening, it might be a cake shop. And where somebody else's dream is happening, it might be in their house. And where somebody else's dream is happening, they're naked in their high school. And so the territory, wherever you're occupying in the dreaming, becomes whatever you're dreaming about. And everybody sort of coexists in this dreaming universe together, seemingly unbeknownst to each other. They're not aware of each other. They don't interact with one another, but they all are there occupying that space. Okay. There are a few custodians or people that are responsible of kind of taking care of the caretakers of this space. I don't know who any of these people are. We're introduced to some of them. There's a librarian. They call him by name. I forget it. That's how I am. Lucin is a librarian. Lucin. There's a guy with a pumpkin head. He seems to be a caretaker, like a gardener or fixer up kind of guy. There's Cain and Abel is here. Cain keeps killing Abel. Oddly enough, I guess that's a running gag.
That's what they do.
Okay.
Cain always kills Abel, and Abel's like really like a kind of really pathetic character.
Yeah. So if you look up at the sky, you'll see that the sky is cracked. It's like the universe of the dreaming, the world they live in, is coming apart. And this is a problem. Well, Lucin has been left in charge by Daniel, who is the dream, who is the king of dreams. And he's the one that...
He's part of the Endless, the family.
Right.
There's five or six of them. They all have D for names.
Okay.
Destruction is the oldest one. Destiny is the oldest one. Then Destruction. Desire.
Death is one.
Death, Delirium.
And Dream.
Yeah, and Dream.
Yeah. So, he
And at the end of the old series, Daniel died and was reborn.
Right.
Which he goes and...
He talks some about
that. He talks about it.
So, the universe is cracking and falling apart from their point of view, their universe of the dreaming. And so, Lucin doesn't really know what to do about it. He's tried to contact Daniel through whatever kind of means he has to get a hold of him. He won't respond. So they end up getting a crow. And I forget the crow's name. They said it, but again, I don't know the crow. Matthew? I think that's what they call it. Yeah, his name's Matthew. And they send this crow out to find him. So the crow has to find Daniel. And in order to do that, he's got a hitchhike. On somebody as they're waking up out of their dream and ride back to the real world with them to try and find him because he's in the real world. And so as he goes through this person's dream, and as he goes into the real world, he's introduced to three or four different ongoing stories that are not what he's looking for. And these three or four different ongoing stories are the stories that will be taking place in the Sandman series of books that will be coming out. There's one for Lucifer. There's one for the magic books.
Books of Magic.
Books of Magic. There's a couple others. I can't remember all of them.
Which is funny.
House of Whispers. And there's another one.
Mother Hall.
So basically, this is an introductory to those stories. He comes over onto this lady. She's putting on a banquet. He meets this character named Dora. I don't know what her problem is, but she doesn't want Matthew to wake this lady up so that she can go back into the real world because this lady's like dying of cancer or something. And so while she's here in the dream, she's peaceful and she's happy. If she wakes back up, she goes back to pain and misery. And so Dora actually becomes angry and turns into like some kind of rage monster. In order to scold Matthew and get him to leave her alone. And in doing so, they both get kicked out of the dream. So now Dora sulks off, and I guess you'll follow her story in one of the books.
Yeah, apparently she knew Daniel when he was before his rebirth.
Right. So he finds another kid and wakes him up. This kid is the kid that will be featured in the Books of Magic.
Yeah.
And so you follow him around. And he goes to his school. He's late for class. He's got a new teacher. She's giving him a hard time. But what he can't see is what, because everything's an illusion except the teacher. And what she can't see is that she's killed his real teacher. There's a pool of blood on the floor, and the classroom is empty. He thinks he sees it as a full classroom of normal kids. They're not there, and he can't see the dead body that's over there on the ground. And so why they're manipulating him and what they want him for is unbeknownst to us.
Well, the cool thing about the Tim Hunter books is, like, he was, like, a young kid who got, like, he was a normal young kid, but, like, got whisked off to a wizarding school.
Well, I was going to say, he looks a heck of a lot like Harry Potter.
And when they wrote, J.K. Rowling wrote the book, she famously got sued.
Mm-hmm.
By DC and Neil Gaiman.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I suppose
because there's a lot of similarities in the books and whatever.
So I suppose she won, since that's a big thing now. And then
I don't know if they came to a deal or if she won outright, but yeah.
So it didn't stop her, either way. Didn't
stop her.
So Matthew the Crow continues on to New Orleans, and while he's there, he's looking in on a family who, for whatever reason, have got like this crocodile charm. One of the kids is angry, throws the crocodile charm over into the water. The water becomes a crocodile with a top hat, which is then rescued by some kind of mermaid lady, drug up on the bank, and they have an interchange about he won't be trying to steal kids around there anymore, and she tells him not to, and then he leaves. And then for whatever reason, she's looking in on this family. I don't know what her connection to them is or why she cares, but that'll have some future role to play in that.
This was like the weakest of the
stories. Yeah, this one looked to me like the one I was least interested in. Then the one that I kind of am most interested in, the one I would kind of be interested in reading, is when he meets this other dead crow that was killed by Lucifer. And Lucifer then, to figure out what he's up to, he talks to this other dead crow who can't move on because Lucifer apparently has sacrificed him in some kind of ritual. And Lucifer's got some kind of plan to steal something from Providence or something. I forget exactly what the details of this is, but basically it's his revenge plan. And in order to find the mother of his son or something, he has to go dig her up in some graveyard. It's complicated. But it was captivating while I read it. I remember thinking, wow, this is really, really, really well written and stuff. So the crow finally makes its way, I think, to New York or someplace. And while it's there, it almost finds Daniel, who's on the city streets. But for whatever reason, like when you wake up for a dream, you can remember what you were dreaming about for a little while, but then it fades. For whatever reason, he gets diverted from finding Daniel and forgets why he's there. And he ends up going back to the dreaming and telling Lucen that he couldn't find him and asking what's he going to do now. And Lucen basically tells him, I don't know, but I think Daniel has quit his position as the King of Dreams. And that's where the book ends. It seems interesting. I like some of the concepts that were introduced here, and I'd like to know more about them. But my situation is that I've already can't keep up with my reading stack now. So do I want to pick up more books and add more stuff to the pile? I don't think I can. I really just don't think I can. And the question is this compelling enough to get me to bite on? I can see why a lot of people really like this. I mean, this is not your standard superhero fare. This is not tights and capes. This is not the cliche of people changing in phone booths or people hanging upside down over city alleys. And
well, what it is, it's really the reintroduction of Vertigo back into the DC universe.
Right.
Where they've had Vertigo books, but...
But it's not been classic Vertigo.
Yeah.
That old Swamp Thing and yeah. Constantine and that world that exists.
Yeah, that's why they're relaunching Lucifer.
Right.
Because Lucifer was a book that has been out for a while.
Mm-hmm. But they're apparently...
Relaunching it.
But, you know, I watched a season or two of the Lucifer TV show that was on TV.
That's not the same.
But I know it's not the same, but they do make reference to him having a bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that must be where they got that for that TV show.
Yeah.
That concept that he owned a bar. So I thought that was cool.
Lux.
Yeah. So it's very, very interesting to me. I can't see me staying with this. I really just can't. It's not my typical comic book fare that's not my bread and butter. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a good, like, book of the month kind of thing if we were doing that again. We're not right now, but if we were, I think some of that stuff, a Lucifer book or a Books of Magic or a Sandman book, might be really good book of the month reading material as an extracurricular activity outside of my normal fare. But I don't think I can justify deviating from what I'm reading to pick this up. So I probably won't be picking this up. But that's not to say that this wasn't good and wasn't enjoyable. But because I went in four different directions, I didn't get enough of any of it to make me go, oh, man, I got to have more of that. It was just teasers is all it really was.
Well, yeah, I don't think this book itself is going on.
No, this is just a one-shot.
So,
yeah, the other books are the books that'll pick
up. Like, the Dreaming may be interesting, the one with Dora, to figure out why she's so mad at Daniel.
Right.
Maybe the Books of Magic, those would probably be the only two I'd pick up with.
Right.
Because I'm so separated from Lucifer, the TV show.
So Lucifer, like, I'm married to that devil. I can't read this devil. I'm married to the other devil.
I'm just saying, you know, I don't wonder if I like Lucifer, the comic may be good, but you know, it'd be like, well,
they're just different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe after the show's over and you've satisfied that itch, you could come back and pick this.
Maybe.
Up. Yeah. All right. Transformers Unicron number 3, Charlie, last book of the night.
I've been reading this whole, like, I've been getting these books, and I just started reading them yesterday, and I finished 1, 2, and 3, which are the only three out already. And we're dealing with the Autobots and the Decepticons who are together, because they're in this book takes place years and years after the comic book or whatever.
Right.
I mean, the cartoon. And some of the Decepticons are in the Autobot team. They're helping. Like, Soundwave is a full-on member of Optimus's group. He's still a Decepticon,
but
he's fighting for
temporarily, he's helping out. Okay.
And before this, Starscream became the leader of the leader of Cybertron.
Just like in the movie.
Yeah, but he's not evil. He's just the ruler of Cybertron. I'm saying in this book, there are a lot of, like...
This is an altered universe. This is not the universe you saw on TV.
No, it is, but it's like years later. But it's more in the real world than it is.
Okay. So it's not an alternate history. It picks up after the TV show? Okay.
Kind of.
Because Starscream died in the TV show. But anyway...
Yeah, they even make reference to it in the books, and it's kind of funny. But it's kind of like a mixture of the cartoon and the movie universe.
Right.
And this one, like, now there's a character named Windblade, and she's a jet, and she is now the ruler of Cybertron.
Oh, really? This is a mantle that's passed around easily.
Yeah.
She was a character on this Transformers Prime thing that Machinima was doing. That was all on Amazon for free the other day, and I watched the first season of that.
Yeah, that's kind of the same continuity as the comic
book. Okay, all right.
Because they've even the toy line that's out,
okay,
deals with this or whatever, and they're kind of all mixed up in the same universe. Like in this, like Rom the Space Knight.
Oh, does he exist in this?
Is in this the Mask universe?
Oh, this is all the Hasbro property crossed over.
Yeah,
okay.
The Visionaries,
mm-hmm.
G.I. Joe is
right.
in this also, but. They're trying to.
So when you see Cobra Commander and Starscream on the same page, do you hear the same voice?
Well,
in your head,
I think Cobra Commander died years ago.
Oh, so he's not in the book now. Oh shoot! No, all right.
I think he died in the old Devil's Due book, and they just haven't brought him back. I wouldn't know. I'm not reading G.I. Joe though.
Okay.
Which is funny because now they have a G.I. Joe. $6 million man crossover.
IDW loves them some crossovers.
They do. It's true. But this one is the kind of like the be all end all crossover for the Transformers books.
Okay.
After this, they are relaunching it. But before this, they were saying, no, this was going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, I was thinking, yeah, right, it's a cash cow. You're not just going to stop that puppy. But anyway, their Unicron has come to Cybertron, and they're trying to figure out why. And
he hungry, like Galactus.
Well, the thing is, they didn't know that Unicron was an actual, like, sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, at the end, like, in the middle of the second book, they hear, I hunger, like that.
They're like Galactus.
Yeah. And they're like, what the heck was that? Was that actually Unicron? Because they have no clue, right?
So there's no legend of Unicron, because in the movie, everybody knew who Unicron was.
They just, like, find out about him now.
Okay.
Because, well, the thing is, this book kind of falls into a controversy.
I know I'm asking a lot of questions and you're not actually reviewing the book. I apologize.
But no,
I find it all very interesting.
It's fine. But like the whole thing about this whole book, it's kind of a controversial book too, because Hasbro stated that they weren't going to keep bringing G1 stuff into this book.
Okay. What else is there? Because nobody cares for the Generation or Two or Beyond stuff. Didn't Optimus Prime will make an appearance in some of these?
I'll get to it.
Okay. All right.
But the thing is, Unicron, he said that they were never going to introduce, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have introduced him.
Right.
And the thing is...
And you know Hasbro checks off on everything they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, they kind of ticked off a lot of Transformer people when they said, fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they told them, yeah, we're not going to be introducing any more G1 continuity into this, blah, blah, blah. And no Unicron. Well, then they said, yeah, we're doing Unicron and all the,
or did they do that because people got mad, or did they put it as a red herring to divert people and to misdirect them?
Well, I think they just weren't planning on doing it. And then they did do it.
Oh, okay. So just, happenstance.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, the Unicron has gathered an army.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gathered an army of Maximals.
Maximals.
Yes.
Okay.
The
good guys from the Beast Wars cartoon.
Well, they're calling the whole collection of them.
All the Beast.
Yeah. All the Beast Transformers.
Are Maximals. Okay.
Are now in Unicron's army because you see Megatron and Optimus Primal in the book, which is kind of weird. And you have the Autobots fighting them.
So how do you justify a universe where Optimus Prime could stand toe-to-toe with Optimus Primal? How do you reconcile that?
Well, the thing is, it's like...
Because on the original Beast Wars cartoon, it was what? Centuries later, right? Or something?
It was centuries before.
Oh, was it?
But in this book, they're saying that the Maximals were on another planet.
So,
it wasn't Earth.
So somebody's name is not original. Somebody's name is actually taken from the other. I always wondered which way it was.
No, they're original. So
what's the odds of both of them having the same Megatron, almost?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
But that's how it happened.
Okay, all right.
Because Windblade is not a Cybertronian.
Right. She's from Canimus.
Yeah.
Yeah. based on that cartoon I watched. Yeah.
So she's an she's a transforming robot from a different planet.
Right. Whose physiology is somewhat different.
But the Maximals are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They're those characters, but they're just from
another world. Planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not from Cybertron.
Just happen to have the same names. Okay. All right. I'm over it. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, RC in this, they find out a secret about RC, and they figure out that, like, centuries, because in, like, the second book, they find an Omega Sentinel on the thing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what Omega Sentinel is, it's the big guardian robots that they actually made Omega Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Omega Supreme is Omega Sentinel.
Right.
But on Cybertron, they had an army of those guys.
Okay, cool.
Well, they find one of those guys on Unicron while they're walking around. And they're like, well, what's going on? And RC's like, yeah, I don't know. And then they dig a little further into this that they actually do know. Like millennia ago, like millions and millions of years ago, Shockwave had like traveled back into the past and pretended to be one of the original primes.
Really?
Yes. Which is really weird.
Shockwave has got the bolt thing for a face. Yeah. Okay.
In prime continuity, there are supposed to be 13 primes.
Mm-hmm.
And only 12
is prime number.
Only 12 have shown up. And like millions of years ago, there was like 7 or 8 of them at one point in time. Because there was Alpha Trion, he was a prime, and all these other ones. Well, this one character named Onyx Prime had been killed by a Shockwave, and Shockwave paraded around as her.
Mm-hmm. Her? Wow.
Well,
transgender Transformers.
Well, no, it's the fact that like when Onyx Prime came to Earth, here's a little weird continuity thing about Transformers. There really are no female Transformers.
They seem female.
No, there are female Transformers now.
They weren't then.
But in the past, there were none.
Okay.
Matter of fact,
so they were just androgynous.
Then. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think, RC used to be a male. Back in the time.
RC is the first transgender Transformer. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But it's weird. You can't really say that. But
see, that just makes it weird when her and like Springer are flirting stuff. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But like I said, before her, there were no female Autobots, no matter what the cartoon said.
Okay.
Because remember,
this is different continuity.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is comic book continuity, not
movie continuity, cartoon continuity. Yeah.
So
this is the most interesting conversation we've had on the show since we relaunched.
Yeah, it's weird because, but anyway, the under Shockwave's command as Onyx Prime, which I said Onyx Prime is a female. When they came to Earth, they were humans saw them as male and female and characterized them as male and female. And they figured that in history, when they came to Earth, the humans saw them as gods and represented Onyx Prime as Artemis.
Okay.
So that's why I said a female.
Mm-hmm.
But not really, because still Shockwave. It's kind of silly to say they're girls or males anyway, because they're just robots.
They don't have reproductive parts, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we got you.
But anyway, under Onyx Prime / Shockwave's order, they were sent to find life on these other planets.
Mm-hmm.
But under Shockwave's command, it told the Omega Sentinels, like, look, if anything attacks you, you kill them no matter what.
Okay.
So the people on this planet attack them all for no reason, and the Omega Sentinels killed everyone almost everyone on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the planet, the people on the planet decided that they were going to come back and have revenge. So they then created Unicron.
Who are these people that can create such a thing?
Well,
we're not just
ancient.
I mean, they were flesh and blood people.
No.
Oh, they were like...
They were like sentient robots.
Those were like Quintesson or something like that. Okay.
And it turns out that they created Unicron.
Okay.
So they find out that RC was and helped build a massive killing, like universe-sized Unicron that's killing, destructing planets.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost several planets in this. It's like there's dozens of planets that they lose in this.
Has Unicron transformed yet, or is he doing all this killing and eating as a planet?
No, he's just killing and eating his planet.
Okay.
Which is funny because, like, at some point, see, because, like, the 13th Prime hasn't shown up that we're aware of.
Is it Rodimus?
No.
Has it Rodimus Prime been in this yet? Or has he existed in this universe?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So. I know Hot Rod's there, but Hot Rod doesn't look like he does now.
Okay.
I'll show you later, but he's kind of cool looking. But, Starscream, he's like, I know, I'll lead us into victory. And what he wants to do is he wants to, like, send whoever Unicron wants killed to them, and like everyone's like, no, that's not gonna happen. We're just gonna fight.
Sacrifice people?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but it's funny because he's like, yes, I'll lead us all into victory. Well, the thing is, I'm wondering if like the Prime will show up, because I don't think Optimus Prime is like a prime.
Okay.
So I think it's someone else that's just gonna show up and be a Prime. I'm kind of wondering, like, how that's going to work out.
So did Shockwave live out his life in the past, or did he come back?
No, he came back.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, the reason why he traveled back in time was because he knew. He kind of, like, forced the past into what the past was going to happen.
Right.
Because he kind of, like, altered, like, stuff that he knew that was going to change. Like, he knew the one history, but he went back to force it into something else.
Right.
So, but I'm just, like, learning this now. So, you know, it's because I was like, what? Shockwave became, like, paraded around as a Prime for a while? That just seems a little weird.
That is weird. Okay. Well, like I said, I've got all these issues. I just haven't.
Like I said, it's pretty cool because, like I said, you just, like, find out all this crap. And like I said, I was telling you about the toy continuity and everything, because the girl one here is Victorion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a combiner that they brought in the toy line like 4 or 5 years ago. There's a Metroplex right there.
Excuse me.
Trypticon.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the newer toys. And I think that's Bruticus right there, because he's got tank stuff on him.
Sweet.
He was a combiner like a few years ago.
Yeah, so they seem to be pulling out all their big robots. They're pulling out the combiners, the Omega Titans. Is that what you call them?
No, they thought that like they could attack Unicron that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, look, we're not even making a scratch in these things.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how big of robots we get to, like, try to hit them. It's not going to do much enough.
But it seems like as a...
But they're bringing in everything.
They're marketing a lot. It just seems to me like they were pushing it on the cartoon thing they did. And they're pushing it here.
Well, the cartoon came about because of the toys.
Right. And so, well, they were pushing... So Hasbro's pushing them. The idea of these bigger robots, not just your regular run-of-the-mill Transformers, but you got your Combiners, you've got your Omega Sentinels, and you've got your Titans. The Titans were the city-sized. You know, your Trypticons and your Metroplexes and all those guys. And
They even tried to get Fort Max, but they're like, look, Fort Max is a city. This thing's the size of a universe.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right.
Yeah, because like I said, they were trying to bring out all their guns, because
I'm just saying this may be a really good marketing decision, because if you're trying to sell car, you know, sell toys, you sell the ones that are this freaking tall for big money.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a couple of years ago when the toys were all being made, they were all combiners.
Really?
Yeah. So like the last toy line they had out were all Headmasters.
Mm-hmm.
In the new ones, they're all called Prime, Power of the Prime.
Toys. Right.
And they've all got like the little like Headmaster bodies, but they fit into like their chest or in their guns, and they give them the Power of the Primes.
Right.
But they're all combiners.
Combiners that become combiners.
Yeah.
So, cool. I can't keep up with all this. I know you post like a lot of Transformer toy stuff on Twitter and Facebook. And I'm like, I don't know where you get your information. I used to get like Toy Fair magazine back when it was a thing, and back in the day forever ago, like 10 years ago or more. And they would have stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's cool. They got new Transformers out or whatever. I don't know where I would keep up with that stuff now or how I'd have time to, really. But, you know, if they were putting out a new wave of He-Man toys or DC toys or whatever, I would just have to randomly luck onto them in some store.
Theoretically, Mattel does their own line of He-Man toys now.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, special order them through most.
By the way, if anybody knows somebody from San Diego Comic-Con that can get me one of those Laughing Prince Adams, I want one.
But the whole thing is, like, the next toy line is called War for Cybertron.
Uh-huh.
But they're more, like, they're supposed to be, like, more futuristic vehicles than the ones we have now. They're not all like
dated cars and planes and things like that from the '80s.
Yeah, they're not supposed. What I'm saying is they're not their Cybertron, like what they would look like on Cybertron,
mm-hmm.
but they're just more like updated futuristic cars and toys,
like Jetsons. I'm being facetious, but you understand my point. All right, cool. So that's enough of the Transformer talk. That's we're over on time. We're going to stop the show, take a quick break, and come back and close out. Alternate Reality, the best comic book podcast on the internet. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
All I have is a bottle of very, very, very old scotch. Whiskey!
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want to say thank you for being with us this week. We hope you enjoyed our review of this week's comics. And hopefully we'll be back next week with no interruptions to keep us from talking about the stuff that came out this current week that we'll be reviewing next week. So look forward to that. We would appreciate it if you could help us.
Yep.
We want you to do that. There's a couple different ways you can do that. Go over frequently to our website. arnetcast.podomatic.com is the website for now. We may be changing that down the road. Just keep your ear to the ground. And listen to the show, share the link for the episodes as they go up on your social media, and tell friends and neighbors about us. So that's one way you can help. Two, we want to hear from you. Send us an email to Alternate Reality Podcast, all one word, alternaterealitypodcast@gmail.com. We'll read and respond to your email on the air. That's something we would love to do. So if you've not yet sent us an email telling us that you're really glad we're back and that you missed us, then you should do that. Also, this is episode 396. Episode 400 is coming up. You know, it's four episodes away. And so episode 400 is going to be kind of a big deal. We want people to write in and tell us, man, that we're, you know, glad.
Sure it is.
Assuming the show's still going for the next four episodes. But it's a milestone. We've been working on it for over 10 years, closer to 15 probably. And we want you guys to say, hey, congratulations, guys. Here, tell us what some of your favorite moments from the show history might be, or what you've enjoyed listening to over the years, or what you would like to hear from us going forward. We're always interested in that kind of thing. You guys should review the previous catalog, which is a lot of work. Don't do that. You guys should do a book of the month. You guys should talk about this book that I never hear you talk about, whatever the case may be. You guys should do YouTube videos, whatever. Then, you know, well, I'm not saying we'll do what you ask. I'm saying we would love to know what you're thinking. That way
we're just interested.
We just want to know where our clientele would like us to go, and we'll seriously consider those kinds of things. So do that for us. Go over to iTunes, as I said earlier, write a review for us, give us a 5-star rating, and say really nice things about us in your review. That helps make us more visible on the iTunes network. And that helps more people be aware of the show that maybe weren't aware of it before. When they search for comic books, will pop up quicker than we otherwise would have. If you're so inclined, you can contact me on social media about making a donation to help pay for show expenses. At some point, I'll create some type of a link button or something. If you want to donate some funds our way, you can. We don't ask people to do that. We've never asked people to give us money, but I always want everybody to know that they can if they want to. So right now, there's no way to do that. There's no button on the website or anything to click on. Just contact me on social media. Send me a direct message on Twitter or Facebook and say, hey, how can I send you, $5 or whatever you want to do? And I'll give you some information to help you do that. Check us out on the social networking, what little I'm on there. I try to post, but I'm busy through the day. Sometimes it's hard. But check me out on Twitter, twitter.com/John Loveless for me, X Onslaught for Charlie, and, of course, the show feed itself at @AR_podcast. And stay abreast of everything we're into, we're talking about there. Or you can check us out on the Facebook. There are pages for Charlie and myself and, of course, the show. Over on Facebook, you just have to search for us. We're not hard to find. We don't have secret hidden accounts. And so search for John Loveless, Charlie Huffman, or Alternate Reality Podcast, and you should have no trouble finding that there. Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can check out the network over at Comics with an S, Podcast with an S .com, Comics Podcast, double plural, .com. Then check out the network for ours and a bunch of other really cool shows that called the network home. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
Yes, John.
Oh, you have something to add to that. Fantastic. What is it?
What's happening in a couple weeks, John?
What's happening in a couple weeks? Well, let's see. It's mid-August. In a couple weeks would be my birthday. Also, it is probably, if you're the kind of person that does this from time to time, it's Dragon Con coming up. Labor Day weekend. Those are the only two things of significance outside of my wife's birthday, which is a day or two before that, that I know of. Oh, Charlie has got something in a bag. What is this? Is this early birthday?
Yes.
Early birthday, Charlie, you shouldn't have. I just packed up all the stuff in my room. Now you've given me more stuff. It is Street Fighter Ken Masters action figure with different interchangeable faces, different interchangeable hands, and fire to go on his hands for when he's doing his Shoryuken.
It's what they call a fig art. A figure art figure. It's more adaptable. And
it's got different, it's posable. It's got a lot of articulation.
You could buy added effects to it, like explosions and stuff like that.
Sweet. So that's Ken.
Yeah, that just came into the shop the other day.
That's sweet. It's a shame he didn't give me right to go along with it. And it is a Clark Kent Funko Pop from Funko. That is fantastic. A Clark Kent who's pulling a shirt open, da-da-da, as Superman. It's a Hot Topic exclusive. Thank you, Charlie. This is awesome.
I actually went a ways to get that yesterday.
Which one? Both of these are?
The Funko Pop.
The Funko Pop. All right.
Because there's a store in Northern Kentucky called Comics to Games. And right. I took a picture last week and was like, here's all the Funko Pops we got. I was like, oh, that's cool if I'm up there. And I knew I had to go pick up Mom from the train station in Maysville yesterday. And it's only about 50-mile difference between Northern Kentucky to Maysville. So I was like, I'll pop over there and get it. Well, the thing is, there's a little toy convention in, way Northern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. But it's in the bottom of a hotel or whatever.
Right.
So I was just like, nah, I'm not going to go that. Well, unfortunately, the guy took a bunch of pops up to the toy convention yesterday. So I had to go to the toy convention.
To buy the pop.
To buy the pop.
So you had to pay to get in the convention? Yeah. And then, I really feel bad about that.
But the funny thing is, he gave me a discount. So basically, it was kind of free to get into the convention.
Oh, okay.
Because, if you mention their store, you get half price anyway, and you get me a discount, so it's kind of free to get in.
Sweet. Excellent. Well, that's really thoughtful, man. Thank you so much. I like both of them. I really am impressed with the Ken Masters, because I've got some Funko Pops. I don't have anything like the Ken Masters, so that's cool.
That's awesome. I think it may have a stand in there, too. They come with a bunch of stuff.
Sweet. All right. If I get it put together later, I may post some pictures online. All right. Excellent. Thank you, my brother. That is amazing. Appreciate that. It is coming up my birthday on September 2nd. If you want to send me anything for my birthday, then, you know, direct message me. I'll give you my mailing address. You can send it right to my house. I'll let you do that. And Charlie's birthday is in late April. So just put that on your calendar and know when that's coming up. All right, so that's it for the show this week. Anything else?
No.
All right, we done? We done now? All right. So that's it for the show this week.
No more for you.
That's it for this time. Until next time. In the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're out. You guys have a good night.